Hello, and thank you for listening to our online Victory Sermon Archive. This archive is updated weekly with messages by our pastor, Nathan Barker. We hope you enjoyed the study from God's Word today, and thanks again for joining us.
Take your Bibles and turn to 1 Kings chapter 5 this morning. 1 Kings chapter 5, that's in the Old Testament. It's right before 2 Kings. And 1 Kings chapter 5, the temple that Solomon built was magnificent. It took Solomon 7 years to build this temple, working round the clock. 7 years to build the temple, and the majority of the material that was needed to build the temple was already there. David had for years accumulated a bunch of material to build the temple. So it would be kind of like building a house inside of Lowe's. You wouldn't have to go far. Now, some of the stuff still had to be taken care of and done, but this place was magnificent. It was a sight to behold. As a matter of fact, it was so magnificent. We can get an understanding of how magnificent it was by reading Ezra chapter 3. So you stay there in 1 Kings, and I'm going to read you something in Ezra chapter 3, verse 11. Now you have to realize that this is not Solomon's temple that we're talking about. Solomon's temple has been destroyed by Ezra chapter 3. But some of the people remembered the old temple, Solomon's temple. Ezra chapter 3, verse 11. And they sang together by chorus and praising and giving thanks unto the Lord, because he is good, for his mercy endureth forever toward Israel. And all the people shouted with a great shout when they praised the Lord, because the foundation of the house of the Lord was laid. The second temple was now being built. The first temple had been destroyed. Now the second temple is being built. Celebratory day. Verse 12. But many of the priests and Levites and the chief fathers, who were ancient men that had seen the first house when the foundation of this house was laid before their eyes, wept with a loud voice. And many shouted aloud for joy, so that the people could not discern the noise of shout for joy from the noise of weeping of the people. For the people shouted with a loud shout, and the noise was heard afar off. That just gives you an indication how beautiful it was. The men that saw the old temple, when they saw the new temple being built, wept because it was so ugly compared to what they saw before. And the young people shouted. They had never seen something this magnificent. This temple was something to be seen. Solomon's temple. See, the foundation of Solomon's temple and the foundation of the older temple and the newer temple in Ezra, the newer generations didn't realize that the older generation, they knew that what they were giving up, but the newer generation didn't understand. So now I want to read you our text, 1 Kings chapter 5, verse 17. We're going to talk about the foundation of the first temple, Solomon's temple. Verse number 17, And the king commanded, and they brought great stones, costly stones, and hewed stones to lay the foundation of the house. And Solomon's builders and Hiram's builders did hew them and the stone quarries, so they prepared timber and stones to build the house. Solomon's temple was magnificent, as I've already said, it was amazing. And it took him 7 years to build this magnificent temple. It was made out of cedars from Lebanon. Matter of fact, I believe cedars of Lebanon are the only trees that God specifically tells you where they're from. I've had the privilege of seeing the cedars of Lebanon. Being in Lebanon, we were able to go see these wonderful things, these mighty trees. But this temple was built out of cedar and covered in gold. There had been many buildings built in the world, but none have surpassed the beauty of the Solomon's temple. From its conception to the final instruments of furnishing, it was just amazing. But this passage of scripture that we read together was not of all the temple, but only the foundation. The magnificent foundation. There were three things described here about the foundational stones. They were great, they were costly, and they were hewed. Why was the details about the foundation given? Well, anyone that knows anything about construction knows that the foundation is one of, if not the most important part of a building. If the foundation is weak, the building's weak. If the foundation is damaged, the building is damaged. If the foundation is not good, the building's not good, no matter how good it looks. So Solomon made sure the foundation was right. And the three things about the foundation reminds me that this foundation was a picture of someone. This foundation found in 1 Kings chapter 5 is a picture of someone. It's a picture of the foundation of the church. What or who is the foundation of the church? Well, I'm glad you asked. Matthew chapter 16, verses 18 says this. Jesus said, "I say unto thee, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." Jesus looked at Peter and said, "Peter, you're just a pebble. You're a little stone. Upon this rock," Jesus refers to himself, "I will build my church." Listen, Peter's not the foundation of the church, as some religious organizations would like you to think. He is not the foundation of the church. If he was the foundation of the church would have many cracks. And the churches that are founded upon Peter have many cracks. But the church that's founded on the Lord Jesus Christ have no cracks, because the foundation is sure. I like what John Wesley said. Great and costly, marble, or other stones of great size and value. The foundation where they could not afterward be seen, and therefore that this was done, is mentioned only as a point of magnificence, except it was intended for a type or mystical signification of the preciousness of Christ, who is the foundation of the true temple, the church of God. Jesus is the foundation of the church. And he was telling Peter that upon himself the church would be built. So when you look at King Solomon's temple and you see the foundation, why? Why the foundation? You can't see the foundation in most houses. You don't even see the foundation of this church. It's under the basement somewhere, hopefully with no cracks. Would have been foolish for us to spend a lot of time washing every little stone, gravel that came through, making sure that it was looking good. Didn't matter how it looked, it mattered how it was, right? But in this passage of scripture, the Bible specifically tells us about the foundation of the temple and what it looked like and how it was, because this is a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want you to see the comparisons this morning. So, we're going to be talking about the foundation. We're going to use 1 Kings chapter 5, the temple explanation of the foundation, and we're going to compare it to none other than the Lord Jesus Christ, the foundation of the church. The first thing that I want us to see is I want you to see that the Bible says that the king commanded them to bring great stones. The word great here in the Hebrew language means older, more, mighty. That's what the word great means here in the Hebrew language. So this stone was great. And we need to see that Jesus is great. It was a great stone. The idea that it was more. More than we'll ever need, Jesus is. He just doesn't have more. He is more. He actually is our all in all. I find myself sometimes looking at the world to give me more. I really do. I find myself looking at the world to give me more. More pleasure, more entertainment, more love, more understanding, more acceptance. Yet we must understand that Jesus is more. He can give us more pleasure, more love, more understanding. He is patient. He is forgiving. He is merciful. He is gracious. He is more. And my friend, He is great. When He laid down His life for us, He showed us that there is no more needed than He. He was it. The idea of a great also comes with the word mighty. So I want you to know that Jesus is just not more, but He's mighty. He's powerful. They were solid, these stones that this foundation was laid. They were large and they were great. And my friend, Jesus is powerful. As a matter of fact, He is all powerful. We call it omnipotent. He's all we need. He can heal the lame. He can touch the heart. He can mend a family. He's mighty. The brokenhearted, He can touch. If your heart's broken this morning, He can heal. The bitterness you feel, He can mend. The feeling of betrayal, He can soften. My friend, I want you to know that He's mighty, but it also comes with the idea, this word mighty comes with the idea that He is solid. He is powerful. He is solid. He is the solid rock. Nothing can break Him down. Nothing can move Him. Nothing can crack His surface. He is sure. You build your life on Him and it will not fall, no matter what the storm. Many people are going through a storm right now. Your life has been upside down. You feel a constant wave of fear or doubt that has hurt you or bombarded you. You don't know what to do. First thing you need to do is you need to make sure your foundation is Jesus Christ. And if that's the case, you have nothing to fear. As unpleasant as the storm is, your house will stand. I'm reminded of the wise man that built his house upon the rock, and the rains descended and the winds blew and the storm came and it beat upon the house and the floods came and it didn't fall. Why? Because it was founded upon a rock, and that rock was a picture of Jesus Christ. And if your life and my life is founded upon the rock, no matter what the storms that come in your life are, you're going to be able to stand. And having done all, stand. Because the foundation is sure, the house can be sure. Victory Baptist Church is founded upon the Lord Jesus Christ. It is our foundation. He is our foundation. There is no other foundation than we need than the Lord Jesus Christ. But the day that Victory Baptist Church decides that it needs to move from the foundation of the Lord Jesus Christ to a more compromised, ecumenical foundation, then this church is doomed to fall when the storms come. Churches, some churches will never recover from the last 2 months of this COVID-19. Some churches will never recover. Why? They weren't founded upon the rock. Some churches will recover. Why? Because the devil will see to it. But the churches that founded upon the rock shall stand. Are you found? Now your life, is it founded upon the rock? Are you standing? And having done all, stand? You can. We've been bombarded with plague, pestilence. You know, there are actually people this last week, the last thing that's on their mind is COVID-19, because they got a doctor's report that says they got 3 months to live because of cancer. And they could care less about COVID-19. That's the last thing on their mind. children's hospital where little babies are fighting for their life. That mother doesn't worry about COVID-19. It worries about the next breath of that little child. And no matter what storm comes, whether it's pestilence or you get a phone call this week, if your life is built upon the Lord Jesus Christ, you'll be able to weather it. No storm's pleasant, but your house can stand if it's built upon the Lord Jesus Christ, because He's solid. And then the idea He's ancient. When I read the definition of great, the very first thing it said, and I put it last, but the very first thing it said, it was ancient. I started thinking about that. Isn't all stone ancient? I don't think we're making too much more of rock, are we? I think it was all made 6,000 years ago when God created the heavens and the earth. But there's a specific reason that this stone was called great, which gives you the idea of ancient. If you were to go to Daniel chapter 7, three times God is called the Ancient of Days. Hey, I want you to know that this gives you the idea that God is great. Bring great stones. Jesus Christ is great because He's mighty. He's powerful. He's solid. And He's the Ancient of Days. Listen, He's been to my yesterdays. He's been to my tomorrows. He never had a beginning. And because He never had a beginning and He died on the cross for my sins, Nathan Barker will never have an ending. I want you to know that He's the Ancient of Days. You can know and you can trust Him because He knows what Tuesday holds. I can't tell you what's going to happen Tuesday, but He can. And He's not going to tell you. He's just going to say, take my hand. Let's walk through this valley together. Are you walking through the valley with the Lord? Or have you let go of His hands to hold on to the house? When the house stops being connected to the foundation, the house ceases to become a place of protection. It becomes a place of endangerment. My uncle has some good friends in Parkersburg. A very tragic thing happened to them. I could tell you that they're not thinking about COVID-19. With all the rain that's coming, their house that they lived in, a mudslide came and moved the house 2 feet off its foundation. The kicker is the insurance company said, we don't cover mudslides. They lost everything. 20 years of life. My uncle went over to help them. They were in the house getting things out. The police showed up. They said, the next person that walks in that house will go to jail. It's dangerous. They taped it up. They patrolled the place. Just this last Friday, they were given 1 hour by the state, county, 1 hour to remove everything out of the house. They had 40 people. They were only allowed 20 people in the house at a time. They had 40 people show up. And in 1 hour, they cleared the house out. Why do I tell you that? When a house is on its foundation, it's safe. When a house is moved off its foundation, it's condemned. And when you and I move our life off of the Lord Jesus Christ, we no longer become safe. We become condemned. It's no longer safe to dwell with you. So keep your life on the Lord Jesus Christ. He knows your tomorrow, friend. He's the Ancient of Days. Now I want you to see the word costly. You're like, well, we know what that means. I know, but humor me. The word costly gives us the idea of what we think the word costly would give us. Valuable, excellent, precious. This is what the Hebrew word means. I remember when I was looking to buy my wife an engagement ring. This was a long time ago, 1995. I was looking to buy my wife an engagement ring, and I had a friend of mine, a good friend, still one of my best friends to this day, and he had just gotten engaged a year earlier, and he was great information. I knew nothing about diamonds. I want you to know, for that next month or two, I learned more about diamonds than I'll ever need to know again, because he told me what, you know, you need to look at the color, you need to look at the purity, you need to know if it's an H or an I or a J or a K or an L or an M. And I'm like, what in the world are you talking about? He goes, let me show you. So he says, these little specks will tell you what this means and this. And so for the next month or two, I was going into jewelry stores and I was acting like I knew what I was talking about. Let me see an HI diamond, please. I don't know if they showed me a Z, an F, a B. I don't know what it was. I couldn't afford a D diamond. A D is the purest of all diamonds. Sorry, honey, you're worth a D diamond, but I'm not a billionaire. And so I got a diamond that was clear, the clarity as I could afford, and the cut that I wanted, and the purity that I wanted, that I could afford. And all of that had to do with its value. I could have gotten her a bigger diamond that didn't have as good color and didn't have as good purity, but it would have looked better on her finger because it would have been bigger, but it wouldn't have been as valuable. And I might have been able to fool the person that looked at her hand and said, ooh, big diamond, deep pockets. I might have been able to fool the layman, but I could have gone into the jewelry store and says, I'd like to evaluate this, and they'd say, you wasted your money. Because when you deal with something that's costly, it's valuable. Nothing or no one is more valuable than he is. He's all valuable. He is valuable, for without him, we could not even have life, let alone eternal life. He is so valuable. But this word also includes the word excellent. He's valuable. This Hebrew word costly means excellent. Is anyone or anything more excellent than Jesus Christ? No. He's excellent. Nothing but flawless. He is the spotless Lamb of God. He is priceless. No one is like the Lord Jesus Christ, which brings me to the other word for costly, which is precious. He's a precious Savior. He is most precious. My friend, if you don't know him, you're missing out on the most precious friend named Jesus that you could ever have. He is so precious. He's the precious, spotless Lamb of Calvary. He died. He paid the costly price so you could spend eternity with him. Please don't turn him away. But I want you to look at the last word, hewed. This was a neat word. I thought I understood what hewed meant until I studied the word out. The word hewed literally means to be cut and brought. Well, I thought the word hewed meant cut, but it has more than just being cut. It also tells you that it's been polished, which is a unique idea for a foundation, wouldn't you think? Why in the world would you polish something that you would never see? Because it wasn't about being seen, it was about what it represented. I want you to know that this stone was cut. And when you think about the word hewed, the stone was cut. Reminds me of when Jesus was being persecuted and cut for us. The Bible says he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquity. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. I want you to know that it reminds you that Jesus was cut for you and for me. It also comes with the idea that it was brought. A brought, cut piece, polished piece of stone. It gives you the idea that it was brought. It comes with the idea of being brought. And of course, Jesus Christ left the portals of heaven and came down to this earth, and he brought his glory with him, and he died on the cross for our sins. He was cut. He was brought. And then the idea of polish, the stone was polished. The stone that would never be seen was polished so beautifully. It was underground, though, yet it was polished. And that gives you the idea of the details that was made by the temple. And when we think of the Solomon and using these huge stones, we think of the stone that was cut and brought forth and polished. And it, to me, sounds like the gospel. Jesus was crucified and he was buried and he was brought forth because he was crucified and buried. And when he arose again, he polished it all. He cleaned it all up. He cleaned your sins and my sins up. He paid for our sins. He was wounded for our transgressions so that you and I wouldn't have to face the penalty of this thing called eternity in the lake of fire. Friend, I want you to know that Jesus Christ was cut. He was brought forth. He was buried. And then he was brought forth like the resurrection. And then remember, Mary comes to him and he says, "Don't touch me. I haven't ascended to my Father." And then he goes and gets his glorified body to show you and me that one day you and I will get a glorified body. And although we're still underground right now, we've been polished. And one day it's going to come forth and we're going to get a new body and we're going to be finally fixed of all the things that we've been ailing. I just want you to know that Jesus Christ is that solid foundation. He is the gospel. So in the temple stones and the temple foundation, I see the gospel. Because he's the chief cornerstone. He's the foundation. He says, "Upon me, I'll build my church." I'm the foundation, Jesus says. My question is, do you know him today? Have you, as a believer, lost some faith in him? Wondering if he can? Wondering if he will? Have you doubted him in this past week? Have you not trusted him? As a believer, are you losing faith and sight? My wife and I were traveling towards Morgantown just Friday. And we come across Dad's Bridge, which I think last Sunday or two Sundays ago, that was the anniversary of it being designated. All my pictures popped up anyway. 2 weeks from Wednesday, my dad will be gone 4 years. Isn't it hard to believe? It is for me. We were coming across that bridge. I said, "Amanda, you know, sometimes I wonder about heaven. I mean, I believe Christ, but doesn't it sound so hard to believe how wonderful it is?" She goes, "Yeah." She goes, "You know, the world that doesn't understand God, they probably think we're crazy. Talking about a time where we're going to disappear and we're going to be in heaven walking streets of gold. They probably think we're crazy." I said, "Yeah." I said, it's hard for me to believe except by faith. And I trust him. And so maybe this last past week you find yourself in a situation where you're like, you know, is all this thing that God said, is it true? I mean, it kind of sounds science fiction. It kind of sounds strange. And you find yourself fearful and doubting him. It's because you're starting to move off the foundation of where your faith has lied. You can't lose your salvation, don't get me wrong, but if you start wandering away from the shepherd, you're going to be in a very, very dark place very, very quickly because you know what's right, but you choose not to believe it. Friend, you can have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. I mean that. It's not something that I'm preaching. For the last 8 weeks, it's something that I've practiced. I haven't seen anything different than you've seen. I haven't heard any different news than you've heard. So for 8 weeks, I've practiced faith. Just like you need to. I have a solid foundation, friend. I can trust him through COVID-19. I can trust him with the bearing of our children. I can trust him with the bearing of my father. I can trust him with all the heartaches and the bumps of life that we've gone through, and I can trust him with all the ones that we're going to go through. And yes, we're going to go through some more. And I don't want to go through them. If I knew what I was going through, I wouldn't sign up for it. But I'll tell you this, I would rather go through it with nobody else other than the Lord Jesus Christ. Have you walked with him? Is your faith founded upon him? Solomon is giving us a very clear description of what he did with the temple. Cut stones, hewed stones, polished, ancient, great, mighty, solid, valuable, excellent, precious. And he was brought forth for you and for me. These stones that were never going to be seen until the temple was destroyed again, they were going to be buried forever, they thought, were polished. And the foundation was given to us in descriptions like this so that you and I would understand that you and I, who are saved, we have been founded upon the Lord Jesus Christ. He's solid. You can trust him. He won't crack. Because he doesn't crack, you don't have to. You might be afraid, but you don't. You might be afraid, but you've been given the privilege and the opportunity not to be. You can trust him. He's so valuable. If you don't know him, that was to all the people that do know him, but for you that don't, that you don't know him, you know who he is, but you've never put your faith and trust in him, you don't believe in him like we've believed in him, you can do that today. You can just cry out to the Father and say, Lord, forgive me of my sins. Please come into my heart. Be my Savior. I'm trusting in you to take me to heaven someday. I'm trusting in you to be my Savior, and he'll do it. That's the kind of God he is. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And then you too will be having your house built upon a solid foundation. What a beautiful picture. Found in 1 Kings chapter 5, verses 17. Do you know him today? And if you do know him, you trust him? Lord, I love you. There are many things in my personal life that I regret. Sometimes my mind wanders like it should. I transgress like I should. I sin, knowing I shouldn't. But you've always been merciful and gracious to forgive. And if my life is not founded upon you, I don't know how I would react to this whole ordeal. If my life wasn't grounded upon you, I certainly wouldn't want to face tomorrow. But because you live, I can face tomorrow. No matter what it holds, the good or the bad, we can face it because you are a solid foundation. Help us to trust you more. Thank you, Father. We don't ever realize how valuable and wonderful you are. We'll never understand. I don't even know that we'll even comprehend it in our glorified body. I don't know that there's something that could be understood as wonderful as that, but I pray that you'll help us to be thankful for you more in Jesus' name. You're here today and you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. I want you to know He loves you. He died for you. He was willing to go to hell for you so that He wouldn't have to live in heaven without you. And if you'll trust Him today, He'll save you from your sin. I pray that you'll do that. You say, I don't know that I'm saved, Pastor Nathan. Well, you can. Ask Him. Call on the name of the Lord. Maybe you're sitting at home and you're with family members that do know Christ. Just ask Him, what do you do? How do I call on the name of the Lord? Teach me. And they'll be glad to show you from God's Word how you can be saved. And if they can't, you call me. I will. You are saved. You know Christ is your Savior. But you find yourself worrying about tomorrow. Well, you trust Him. He's the Ancient of Days. Can the church weather this storm? Can I, my family weather this storm? If you're founded on the foundation that Jesus Christ is, yes. Remember, He was caught, He was cut, brought forth and polished for you and for me. Our eternity is going to be wonderful if you know Him. You can trust Him. Maybe God's dealt with your heart in some form or some fashion. This morning was just basically a reminder of who Jesus is. Who is Jesus? Oh, as my pastor in Tennessee had always said, He's a wonderful Savior.
Thank you so much for listening. We hope you enjoyed the study from God's Word. Please feel free to like us on Facebook and join us anytime for our live stream. We hope you have a blessed day.